Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Tarek here.
Shoppy Charlie here.
Prunk Chocolate here.
Lando here.
And I want to personally invite you to our
first live and in-person event
on April 20th, 2024.
Live and Lit Chicago will be our chance to connect with you in a truly unique,
one-of-a-kind experience. We will be hosting a three-course breakfast,
a watch party for Man City vs. Tottenham,
and more to be announced later. You can purchase your tickets,
pre-order merch, or simply donate to our event on GiveButter.
Tap the link in the post or scan the QR code on the screen.
We want to thank our friends at FanFest Live for being our official event sponsor. Damn, they do a great job.
I look forward to getting live and lit with you in April.
You know the vibes.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Turn off the loop track. Let's get it.
It's you for your comments in the past, in the last month, that you are wrong. So we know that how difficult it is. We know it. So we know it. It's you to believe it's easy, not us.
The you can be the media calling Man City games boring because the City win is inevitable. The you could be the supposed City fans crying about how awful the team looks despite City pulling off another 1-0 win on the road and on home, doing both, giving Man City more road wins in all competitions this season than their treble campaign last year. We still have 3 months to go, baby. Since Man City's loss to Villa, here's their form. Win, win, draw. Win, 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 win. Win, win, draw. Win, win. This is not about standards being too high because City are winning. Easier to be a fan, aka a fanatic. Easier to complain, bitch, and moan than it is to see the positives, to uplift, or be a supporter. Here I go using logic. City losing Mahrez, Laporte, Gundogan, and Cancelo. That's 19 years of experience with Pep. Gone. Cole Palmer, who would have gotten more responsibility, who was familiar with Pep ball, left for Chelsea. How do you replace that experience in one season? The answer is you don't. Whoever comes in has to get whatever experience they can, however they can. Learn Pep ball. Adjust to the pressure of playing for the club that just won the treble. The best team in the land in all the world. While knowing they're expected to fill a giant void left by important figures to the club. The fact that City are 1 point from the top of the table with 12 games to go, Champions League, an FA Cup, a possibility. We are tired. Fuck you.
Hey, the most is when you're the wonderful.
We're making art over here, baby. Capitalize that A.
You have permission to make a mistake. You have permission to lose. You have permission.
And that's when we get big.
Yeah, I'm a genius.
Attack everyone and send everyone.
I think we're forgetting the most important thing. We're forgetting about focusing just on ourselves.
But we can do better. We need to take the next step, and there's no better place than taking the next step here.
Show ourselves out there how much we want to win it again.
We win 4 of the last 5 Premier League, guys. 4 of the last 5 Premier League. Are we going to do it again?
Don't ask me again about doubles, triples, quadruples, fifth-tuples, six-tuples, and seven-tuples. So,
don't do it. Hey, and welcome to episode 90 of Shades of
Blue. Niggas debating my numero, not the 3, not the tournament, you ain't know.
We are the most comprehensive show about Manchester City, huh? Covering both the men and women's game. Spanning both sides of the Mason-Dixon line. We making art over here, capitalize the A. I am with Sharpie, Lando, Show Bros. How's it going?
Hey, what an intro.
Yo.
What an intro.
Yo.
levels.
What okay. An intro.
We're hitting running yes. form right now.
Let's Trump go. I thought I had to check the internet real quick. My man was giving all the results when he. I thought he was lagging when he was dropping the W.
It was so many W's. You forget.
It was. Like, it was. You were just like, what's wait, a loss? Really?
I don't know what a loss is. I don't know her. I'm sorry. I can't really.
I'm trying to stay away from her.
But life is good, man. Happy to be here. Happy to be back.
With your show, bros. Yeah. How are you, Charlie? How are you?
I'm great, man. Watched a great film today. Shouts to Mia Culpa on Netflix. Go see it. UNC won yesterday after City won. So I'm on cloud nine, man. That's a great fucking weekend.
Let's go.
Sneaky follow on Twitter, Sharpie Charlie. A little bit of some workouts, a little bit of some inspiration to get out there. You need to go ahead and get that in there. If we can get some movie reviews and some movie critic perspective from you, Charlie, we're getting a round gentleman, a scholar. A man of knowledge and education and various background. The unicorn of men, Charlie, you are.
I mean, I don't know if you can see it in the background, but that Morehouse right there. You know, Morehouse, man. We out here. Let's fully go. Well-rounded. Man. You know, we here.
Let's
do it all.
Last recording of Black History Month. We out here.
Last recording of BHM, baby. Let's go.
You just say that right before the pod, too. It's perfect.
There it is.
Love it.
We're in sync, guys. We're in sync. What are we doing, Crump? What are we going to do?
Before we get anything at all, what I need you to do right now, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up. Maybe show some love, comment on the episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, any of those podcast streaming services that allows you to rate, we need that 5-star rating immediately. Reviews, all those things, just give them to us. Praise, I love it. We love it. It never stop. It's always good to hear, always. Just praise the person next to you. Just say something randomly nice about what they're wearing. How about that? I guess you're not supposed to do that.
Spread the positivity.
Yes.
Just spread like, the positivity. Just
like yes. Another week of amazing shows for you, Shady Gang. We got two Breaking Bread episodes this week. Our match preview series live Monday at 3:15 Central, 9:15 GMT for you Brits. We got our Man City versus Luton Town. Joining us will be Luton Town podcast, Owen the Town. Should have a couple of them joining. We'll definitely be asking about their hot manager. I was definitely hoping Tom Bond would be here because I know he would be saying something about that right now.
I'll play that role. That's a good looking man. I'll flat out say that's a good looking man.
It. Sometimes when you know, you got to call a spade a spade.
Hey, it is what it is.
The jeans won.
And I want to know if the fans have embraced all of that stuff or if they're tired of it, because Luton Town recently shared just a selfie of their manager. So they're embracing the thoughtness of their manager, where they're just been like, yeah, like us, follow.
Clicks, engagements, baby. Got to get it.
And then Wednesday, our Breaking Bread at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. I will be welcoming Grego of FTC United, the 2 Cents crew. Manchester Derby is this weekend, and Big G will be representing those rags and will help us tap into those opinionated neighbors of ours. And then we got Lit Stream on Thursday, FanFest Live, what's up? Love you guys. The most dangerous show about football. Our most of guests this week are the Gold Club Podcast, Ian Porter, and Andy. No topics off limits, no thoughts held back. And then starting Saturday, we have no kickoff show for City Women on Everton because, like, mm-hmm. Match starts on 6 a.m. on Central. But Sunday, we do have I think I'm going to be doing a watch-along. So, I mean, I don't know what you guys are doing, but y'all are more than welcome to join. So, I just don't want to hold you guys. You have lives. So, yeah.
That makes sense. I'm up in the air. I might be watching with family. Yeah. I might be joining.
Yeah, it's big match. Sunshine, the homie Sunshine is going to be joining. So
yeah,
started a YouTube channel, and I just saw on this app that we're using, you can like duo stream now. Like you can mm-hmm. do both people's accounts and stream on multiple people's accounts. So it'll be a good way to give hers a nice little push, have some fun, hang out with some Reds, see who else I can drag on to the show. It'll be a good time. And then
Three dates for our Live and Lit U.S. tour, baby. April 20th. Three-course breakfast. We'll be hosting a live watch-along. And then just general Chicago shenanigans. So come through, you know. Doing hood rap things with our friends. It's going to be fun. It's a good thing. Good thing. Then May 4th, Press Penny. We'll be hosting a watch party for Man City versus Wolves. May 19th, we'll be kicking it at Cap City Blues for City versus West Ham. Shout out to the Snobby Boys pod. They're actually doing a live show right now. So shout out to them. That'll be versus West Ham. Each tour date, we're going to be doing a nice little tour shirt. I'm having someone work on it right now, actually. Going to turn it into like almost like a band shirt type of vibes instead of like everybody saw the other one. So I'm working on it. It's taking a little more work. I'm interested to see what we're going to do.
Crunk, I just want to say something. Speaking of shirts, you all, if you're listening to this on audio, you don't see Crunk's luxurious sweater right now. Like, I came in my, you know, Man City gear. But Crunk's out here looking real Carl Thomas-y. Like, it's looking real emotional right now. I love it.
Carl Thomas-y. Wow. Wow.
Shout out to, like, the legend.
It's not the full turtleneck, but it's the same color, the same palette. God. You know, all you're missing is rain by the window. And, I mean, it will be full. Like,
rain.
I don't know about you, but I'm emotional. I'm emotional. And I also love summer rain. So, you know, shout out to Carl Thomas. Legend.
Legend. 100% legend.
I love it. In today's episode, we start with City Men because the women are on international break. We're going to preview Man City Men. Had two Premier League fixtures beaten down on the B teams, Brentford, Bournemouth. Following that, a preview of this week's games. Tuesday's FA Cup match against my buddies, Luton Town. Hey, friends, what's up? Oh, man. And then we got the Manchester Derby. Could we be the dagger in Ten Hag's tenure time at United? I hope so. That'd be fun.
You're giving me something to fantasize about. Calm down there. Don't do that to me right now.
And then Baby
Blue Baddies. Quite exciting.
I mean, we're going to get to it. Baby Blue Baddies, our Manchester City women's segment. I do want to talk about there's a game against Everton that we should do score predictions for. And then shout out to Layla Wahabi real quick. All right, let's get to the matches. Before we really dive into the matches against Brentford, because really, I don't want to stay on for too long. Oh, I want to purge the memory of these matches from my mind, if we're being honest. Rumors.
No, let them live, bro. This is beautiful. This is a beautiful week.
Get out.
You're the only one that enjoys that chip, like, by the way, Charlie.
The feeling.
But did you hear Crump's intro? How is Crump going to flip on the intro right away? The intro was all like, you know, but no, because that's the thing. You got to revel in this. This is grit. This is mentality monsters. This is how you win titles. It ain't always pretty. You need 3 points. We got 6 of them.
I'm not mad at the team. I just mean
the stress.
Like, it's like 2 goals and 2. I mean, it's just like forgetful. It's just like, man, we got plenty of more matches. Move on. Like, move forward, man. Start a little silly. Rumor was representatives from Camp Mbappe met with CFG reps. And, you know, Pep was asked what he makes of the PSG player.
I think he's quite good. He has a future. He's really, really good.
Two more bits from Pep that intrigued me. First, the bald one was asked if he was disappointed by the lack of clean sheets.
And then go to the player and say, oh, well, today, clean sheet. You see, just clean sheet. They forget to play. They forget just defending and forget what you have to do. And you have to do is play better and better and better, concede few and attack better and create more chances. This is all my target every time. Every time I make a meeting with them or prepare a game.
Y'all making clean sheets an objective like it's FC 24 adds pressure on the players. Play how Pep envisions, how we have seen many times before, the clean sheets will come.
Sharpie, you're our resident Fuck Them Clean Sheets correspondent. I would love to start with your thoughts on Pep's words.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the object of the game, obviously, is to just score more than your opponent. A clean sheet is only a necessity if you only score one goal, right? Like, that's the only time you need a clean sheet. But other than that, you can go 2-1. You can do a 3-2. Like, 3-1's great. So would they be great? Of course. And I think people, we get that feeling because of last season, right? It was just, we were turning them out left and right. But sometimes you're going to give up a shit goal, and it happens. But, you know, hey, I will take every 3-1 win I can get. And I'll say that. How you feel, Lando?
Well, I don't disagree. I mean, yeah, it would be nice. I think where, from a fan's perspective, sometimes we get caught up in is in some of those games to where it's a little bit more than just conceding one. It's more about maybe just conceding one on literally the first shot on goal, and it's every time for like 2 to 3 games in a row. So it could be just, and this is where I think me and Krunk side on a little bit more of the pressure side to where, yeah, we know how City can do things, and there's fortitude and resilience, and we've seen this. We know eventually when, you know, pressure comes, we prevail. We always find ways, and that's the obstacles to becoming a champion every year that you have to do that. Doesn't make it less stressful. Doesn't make it less stressful from a fan's perspective when we view these games, because we have those expectations as a fan. As a City fan, I should say, because not everyone has the expectations of what we do from every game's perspective.
And something I'll add to that is that if you look at the table right now, you look at the full standings, we have only conceded one more goal than Liverpool. Like, we are the third best defense in the league. Arsenal has 23 allowed, Liverpool 25, we have 26. That is one goal a game. Like, that is
not... Are you worried about the goal differential?
A little, but it's like we control our fate, right? Goal differential only matters if we don't beat both of them. Like, if we draw both, then of course goal differential matters. But
or if they just keep winning.
I'm saying, but we control our fate. Like, if we beat, we played them both in March. So like that could change everything right there. That's 6 points for the taking. 3 points off each of them. So, you know, like, I just feel like the perspective, I get it. Like, we're locked in, we're so tunnel focused, the blinders are on. But it's like a tunnel vision, sorry. But it's like once you just like step back a little and say, hey, we have 12 matches left. We're 1 point back. We played the first and third team in March. I feel like we're in a great place overall. And I think that's where Pep in the locker room feels. Like, we're not playing our best. And I would never say that. But winning is better than drawing. And I will take wins every fucking time. Like, I'm not going to apologize for winning.
Hey.
1,000%. The follow-up question to my next clip was about Kyle Walker, and let's call them moments of extreme passion on the pitch, losing it after Mope allegedly spoke of his kids and the kick up he did when he didn't get the penalty, to name a few. Here, Pep was asked if getting emotional on the pitch is a bad thing.
Listen, I in my period in Barcelona, I am in the history, I have the record, the most yellow card conceded. He is as well as a manager, but you concede, and all the time was for tuck, 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 tuck. So it depends. Sometimes I control, sometimes being crazy. So the people say, he cannot control. It's, as a football player, it was the same.
Tuck, 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 tuck.
His natural Spaniard Catalan tendencies that come out in English are really dope all through the years. Whether you're a City fan or not, I just think you could somewhat have a good little giggle and a laugh just to a Pep presser. Jeez, that's hard to say.
And when he's saying that, he has a smile on his face. Like, he knows he's being silly. And that's what I have a lot of clips actually of Pep for these two couple matches, more so because a lot of these, I feel, give context to a lot of the complaints and the things people are whining about. And this gives us a chance to kind of dig into those conversations, like Pep getting too emotional. During his career, his Barca career, like he said, in 389 matches, he received 107 yellow cards. He was the first manager to receive a yellow card when the rule was introduced in 2018. times are changing because Pep isn't the lead hothead in the PL anymore. He does have three yellows, but De Zerbi and Arteta have four. Supposedly, no words have been spoken to Walker about his passion on the pitch, according to Pep, who bailed out Walker with his words, in my opinion. I really wish I had Tarek here because he is our what the fuck is Walker doing correspondent. But Lando, I will start with you. How do you feel about Pep's words and almost being like, hey, passionate things happen on the pitch? Are you with that?
I'm less with that, but I'm always for a manager standing and defending his player.
Yes.
Especially when it's something that if you're going to stand on and take a defense for, it's not something that's going to essentially maybe, you know, tarnish a legacy. You know, we're sticking to soccer, football here. But one of the beautiful things, I forget the language, you just said it and my heart dropped because as you were saying it, you were thinking his passionate display or the passionate action on the pitch. And I'm just like, yeah, it needs to be on the pitch. And that's what we're talking about here. And to that, I'm okay to having that conversation. And I back Pep, who's going to back the players and in the circumstances. But you need to do another example, and we've pointed it out before, of times where when you are a captain and you are that leader, it's just another scenario that it just shows that it's fair to question this guy being the captain right now. It's just fair. There's validity to the conversation with actions on and off the pitch. And Pep doing what great managers do, back their players. So I'm not against it, essentially. What about you, Charlie?
I 100% disagree. I think there's no validity to the argument. I think this season, if you check the stats, that's the FOT mob. Kyle Walker has two yellow cards all season. No red cards. Let's go up the pitch to the midfield. Mr. Tucked In Angry Guy, he has seven yellow cards and one red, as we all know, which cost us points. Because when he doesn't play, we lose games. We lost every game he didn't start. So
have you noticed the Twitter watch on Rodri getting another yellow card? We're safe on the reset, by the way. Just for the record.
We just passed it. He couldn't do it last match. So like, like he had to. So like the real hothead on the team is Rodri. He's not Kyle Walker. Yeah. Well, Kyle Walker, like you said, you go over the one clip with the kid. Like, yeah, you bring somebody's children into it. You cross the line. Just like when you're on the street, you keep it between men. You don't go to families and women, like your kids and women. You talk to each other, right? And you cross that line. That's when people start really getting aggressive. And so for him to call out Mape, if that's what happened, I back my captain. I don't feel like captains have to be, you know, the best scout, boy scouts of everything. Like, no, like they got passion. He was voted by his players. Like, that's not something assigned by Pep. Cheeky didn't make him captain. The players in that locker room said, you are the head captain over KDB, over Rodri, over Diaz, like over Stones, over everybody. Like, you are our guy. And so if the players in that locker room, the trouble winners, say Kyle Walker's the man, Kyle Walker's the fucking man. I don't care what any of us think. It's not about looking, you know, the part. And yeah, he doesn't have a perfect personal life. That, again, has nothing to do with him on the pitch to me. That's his own personal problems. Hope his family's good. But on the pitch, when it comes to defending and him doing his job, he's, I think, 94% is what I just saw in, like, touches this year. He's been more active on the right wing. Yes, we have defensive lapses. Of course, every defender has. Won't make any excuses for it. But the passion, that I was pissed off too. I thought it should have been a pen on Sterling. I would have did the same shit because he tripped that man and didn't get a penalty call, which could have changed the whole match. So yeah, I respectfully would disagree with anyone in the Twitter sphere, in the city world about Kyle Walker's place and is he captain? Yeah, he's a fucking captain because the player says he is. So everybody else, let's just talk about some other shit.
Did Neil Maupai get a yellow for that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah. And yeah, because I don't think anyone heard anything. And that's, he kind of like lost it after that moment. And he would grab the ball and was holding it up.
He went and got the ball and brought it to the ref. I mean, yeah, there's some classic moments where certain players get absolutely crazy gung ho, right? I forget who's the player that told Carmelo Anthony about how his wife tastes? Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett. I mean, there are times where, you know, things are said and it gets taken to the stadium hallways, you know? And I think, how did you put it, Charlie? I mean, yeah. Something along the lines with, I mean, fuck it, I back him.
Yeah, if he gets
like that.
Yeah.
I'm with him. I'm riding yeah. Captain Cow, man.
Let's go. All right. Starting 11. Edison in goal. Backline of Kanji, Diaz, Stones, Walker, Rodri, Bernardo, Oscar, Bob, Alvarez, Foden, and Haaland up top. I wasn't thrilled seeing Alvarez, thinking this was a great match to rest him, except there was no KDB, who was battling a small injury. Having Bernardo next to Rodri was all I cared about. Thoughts on the starting 11? Sharpie?
I'm super excited when I saw Bob was starting. I thought it was time to rotate that left wing position. And I think that's part of the problem or the what we've seen in Doku's performances. He's playing more often in the hardest league in the world. Like, this is not legal. And so if you're playing this intensity all the time and people now have tape on you and they know your moves and they know what's going on, like, sometimes you need that break, that refresh. And so I'm glad Pep finally gave it to him, because I thought Bob could have gotten in earlier. So that was awesome. The back line, I was happy with that. Of course, like, I think the age old question is, of course, like, it feels not in the middle. Is this a problem? And I think we can say humbly, like, before this match, yes, that's something you look at and say, why isn't somebody else on the wing, right? Let's get another winger out there so that way Phil can be central. But, you know, it is what it is. And he can still be productive and still have an impact on the game. So, yeah, Bob was a big win. How about you, Lando?
I really like the lineup. I'm obviously always excited for Oscar Bob getting a start. I mean, we've seen enough for me to be excited about him. And I think everybody knows I'm a complete fanboy for him. I do agree with the Bernardo next to Rodri just gives me warm feelings, like just a warm cup of coffee on a snowy day. Like, golly, it just hits. I'm at home. I'm at peace. The Phil conversation is where I would say, guys, he's been so damn good this year. Just get him in the starting 11. At this point, I really don't mind where he is. I know it's a conversation to be had, and I think there's an intelligent argument for he's better centrally, right? I get that, but it's Phil Foden, and he is prime right now. He's like the player in NBA Jam where he's just on fire. He is just in form. Get him in the starting 11. So I loved it. I was all for it. I was super excited, Kronk.
Hey. Yeah, same. I just wanted to see what Oscar Bob could do, especially with all the rumors about the contract extension. You know he would want to come on and show what he can do. Not really interested in doing the play-by-play for either of these matches. Let's keep kind of the conversation open, but I really would like to start here. 25 shots, 11 on target, for one goal. What happened? Was it bad on City? Good job by Brentford. What were you seeing in the match? Why weren't we able to do more? Obviously we had the chances. Why was there a lack of efficiency of a kill?
Can I start real quick? First, I want to say this. I want to set the scene. We just beat Brentford 3-1 on February 5th. It's very rare that you have in Premier League two matches with the same team in 15 days. Like, that's super hard, right? You just saw them, and we know it was a makeup match from when we went to, you know, win the Club World Cup, and that had to get postponed. So it's just an awkward timing. And Brentford, I think Pep made an analogy to like going to the dentist, right? Like, they're really good at what they do. And I think when you play a really strong defensive side, yeah, your chances aren't going to be great. So the XG in the game isn't going to be super, super high. Like, we're getting shots on, but these aren't high percentage chances. It's not like we're, you know, missing tap-ins or, you know, clear. It's not like the headers that Haaland missed against Chelsea. Like, they were shots, but they weren't amazing. And so I feel like, for me, it was – the process is great, right? We're doing all the things right. We have our 70% possession, which is incredible. We're killing them in passes. But it's just hard to score goals sometimes until, you know, we get to that moment later. But I think the process is good, and that's why Pep will say, like, hey, we played well. If you look at the ratings of the players, player ratings are green across the board. it's just sometimes the goals aren't coming and right now. How do you feel, Lando?
Charlie, to your point, it's a 2.45 XG. And you look at every stat and we dominated. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, with the other stats, if you don't look at the XG and you look at the stats and the domination, you'd probably be comfortable with saying that XG starts with a 4. I mean, and it doesn't, you know, look at the big chances missed, the possessions there, the passes, everything points to us having opportunities. Big chance missed is really, really, really a problem when you create 5 and you miss 4. We need to be creating more and missing less. And so that's the recipe right there. So we got to keep chopping the tree. It's going to eventually come down. The offense, I think, isn't necessarily stagnant. I think it's just going to be a situation where the floodgates are going to open. We've seen it before in some of these landmark games, whether it's in Europe or it's in cup play. We're going to get the potential 5, 6, 7. And I personally love it when we put up 2 field goals. So I'm looking forward to it.
I feel like something else we have to realize is that until we have our best 11 on the pitch consistently, there's always going to be a stop start, right? We know when Kev's in the lineup, we play one way. When Kev's not in the lineup, it looks different. If you don't have Grealish out there who hasn't been there for a while, that changes how we play on the wings, changes our control, like, you know, the way he can pass inside and cut in and stuff. So it's like we're in flux to where we're getting healthy, but with that, it takes time to gain rhythm. And I think players now, like Bob coming in, right? Spot start. He still did well, got an 8-1-1 football, great rating. But these things just take a little time. And some of those shots he got off, or like players got off again, the XG is there because they're going to the target, which is what you want, but they're not like super great chances where it's just like, oh my God, you missed it. How did you miss that? It's just like, oh, you hit it right to the keeper. Why didn't you hit it left or right? You know? So I think, again, we are in the middle of this form where it's starting to say, okay, we were scoring goals before, but we were conceding goals. Now the defense is solidifying and we got to find the goals. I would rather be able to say, hey, our defense is solid, so you only need one goal versus we might give up 3 today. I don't fucking know. And so I think like that trade-off is happening right now. And it's still, again, we still have, like you said, 3 months left in the season. And we know so much can happen in three months. Look at last season, right? Arsenal was winning, and then we know collapses happen, and bottom jobs occur.
10-point lead. So, yeah. It's funny that I asked who did what and how did it go when I legitimately have Pep here telling us specifically what Brentford did that made a difference.
They're able to make man to man. Every time you go by, they push up and they're so aggressive. They provoke to make frontal balls. They are aggressive. And when defend deep, there's no space. No space. Stoney and Wissa and after Mopai is close to the back three, is with Rodri or in front of Rodri. So they allow you to go here, go here, go here. And when you cross, they have 8 players with the 190 meters, like they defend pretty well. And when they regain the ball, they had the ability to make 1 or 2 passes, contact with Tony, and after run with the wingbacks and the other one. And when you let them play, like happened the last 10, 15 minutes, they play really good.
That was it.
If you watch footy, you get what exactly he just said. Because he just lets what is it? How do I pronounce it? Is it Wissa?
Yeah, Wissa.
Yeah, Wissa. Yeah.
I wish I had him sometimes. He's fire, bro. On the counter, he's a baller. And Tony, obviously, you put them out there, and then with the win backs, I was looking at their roster. Reguilón's still on there. Is that weird? Reguilón was in this lineup.
He was on loan from
But Charlie, you were saying you were going to say something. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I was thinking about something because I don't know if you all caught the Real Madrid match today, right? And I made this comparison last year, right? Like the club in the world that is the best club in history is Real Madrid. They have the most Champions League, decades of dominance. They see football, and I think their supporters see football differently than City supporters because we're newer to this. They just care about winning. They don't care how the fuck it happens. They don't give a fuck about glamour. Like, yeah, they have their beautiful players and they have whatever, but they don't score a lot of fucking goals. I think they've only allowed 16, but it's not like they're playing pretty football, but they're winning La Liga by 6 points or 7 points now. And that's all that matters is wins. And so today, Modric comes on, sub, he scores a few minutes later, winning shot off a turnover, gorgeous curler. But it's like, That's what matters. And so I think, like, that's what I was saying earlier, like, find joy in the 1-0. Don't say, like, why aren't we scoring more? It's the point is we got the goal, because a 0-0 would have hurt way more than a 1-0, because now you drop 2 points and you've given Liverpool life and you've given Arsenal life and you're dropping in the table. Whereas, like, no, like, that goal, like, we could talk about it. Alvarez, who is much maligned, he made the pass to release Haaland off the counter. I think it was off a free kick or whatever. And Haaland came through. He came good. As Pep said, like, shut your mouth. When you're talking about strikers, they will make you shut your mouth. And so, you know, like, that moment of brilliance, that's what football's about. You don't go into a match thinking, oh, we're guaranteed to score 4. You hope you score 4, but you really just need 1 to win. Mm-hmm. And the way Brentford was set up, yeah, it's hard as fuck to score. Ask Man United to break that down. Ask Arsenal to break it down. We've seen what they do. Like, it's really tough. Porto will tell you. Look at what Arsenal did against Porto when somebody set deep. No shots. So, like, let's have perspective and understanding about what we're doing, people. We are defending the treble for the first time in almost 20 years, or over 20 years. Like, this is tough work. Everybody's giving you your best shot. It's everybody's Super Bowl. And so with that, you are now have to stay ready. Go ahead, Lando.
I absolutely was in love and ecstatic when I saw that Julian Alvarez was the person who assisted. Mm-hmm. And I loved the fact that Erling Haaland had a wonderful first touch for that ball. Because if I'm going to be honest with you, that ball was whipped at that man.
Yeah, it was.
Whipped at that man. And the fact that Erling was being able to get that touch and keep it on stride. Yeah, you can have an argument to the defender falling and all that. I don't really give a shit. Go ahead.
Honestly, I was going to say, I think he slipped because he did. Haaland caught up with the ball so quickly. Like, it looked like it was going to be a bad touch. Haaland, because he's a freak of nature, didn't really slow down any, and that caught him off. He tried to maybe push a little bit harder. You slip on our well-manicured grass that honestly is kind of made for opponents to maybe slip on if they don't have the right cleats on, and Haaland does what Haaland does.
But here's the thing, right? Everything we saw in the previous few matches, you weren't 100% confident he was going to make it, right? You saw it happening, but his form's been off. He's missed some chances. It's iffy. This is not 22-23. And so for now, for him to hit that, and it felt like old times being last season, it felt like that moment where it's like, okay, now he's back. Like, this is the breakaway goal. This is shoving off Jared Brathwaite. This is the guy who is the best striker in the world, who is still the Premier League Golden Boot winner after missing, 7 weeks?
That's still scary, by the Golden way. Boot,
which is ridiculous.
That's scary.
Yeah, still leading the team in goal contributions, goals and assists. So it's like, this is the moment. These are our 24-year-olds that are, like, still growing together. And when they play together, their record is ridiculous. I don't have the stats in front of me, but we don't lose too many matches when Alvarez and Haaland start. And for them to set it up and combine, I thought it was a picturesque moment in a beautiful way. You saw the celebrations. Like, that's what it means. And this is how you defend a title, which only we know how to do.
I will say, the second Ayer slipped, I knew. I just could smell a goal. Like, the phrase "smell a goal," I just got overwhelmed. I was like, "Oh, this is in." Mm-hmm. It previous matches, yes, I wasn't the most confident about him, but in that moment, in that situation, if he would have missed, I would have been. I don't know how I would have felt. I would have been. I wouldn't have been mad. I would have just. I would have been like a parent. I would have been disappointed.
It was pretty close, in fairness. It wasn't that far off.
Luckin loves Sky Blue. He loves seeing our players.
Yeah.
Bro.
He plays his best games. He got an 8.8 rating on OneFootball. Like, he's exceptional against City. Yeah.
Good shout to him.
Yeah. You would think he's on, like, the best 11 in the world when he plays Man City. But any other match, he's pretty mid.
He had the highest rating in the game from SofaScore. Mm-hmm. He had a 9.3 rating. Yeah, highest on the pitch.
Yeah, he's immaculate. Like, that was a great
on a goal. They're basically saying it was a damn near perfect match. You just let a goal pass you
off a breakaway, which is at your disadvantage. Like, it's phenomenal. So for us to win that match, man, I knew going into the weekend that, okay, we got through a really hard match. Bournemouth isn't you know, they aren't shit this year. They play really good football under their new manager, another Spaniard, like Pep Arriola. And so it's like, I felt really good after this. How did you feel after the match, Grant?
Manchester City, they had unbeaten run at home in all competitions. It's running it up. I don't know if you all are aware of it. 30 wins, 5 draws, so 35 straight. Haaland's goal against Brentford meant that he has now scored against all 21 Premier League teams he's ever faced. I do have one more clip of the match from Bournemouth. Pep post-match was asked about Haaland.
As a person, I was not a journalist. I'm not, and I will not be. So, tell me, top scorer, striker, score a lot of goals, don't criticize him, because he will shout your mouth. So that's for sure. So sooner or later, as always, he's there. So he came for 2 months. He had an incredible tough week last week. He lost his grandmother. And it's not easy for a human being. But and of course, he's not in his best shape, but it's normal.
Yeah, Pep is in presser masterclass mode. Ugh, that's why I have so many clips. Because some of these... You know, he's just doing his thing, but he's spitting. Anything else before we move on to Bournemouth? All right. Bournemouth. We'll be back at it with him. He's killing him softly with the truth.
What Sir Jim Ratcliffe said. How flattering is it to hear someone from United saying what he said about Manchester City?
It's the truth. Manchester teams admit it. They will be closer to us. If they want to deny it for things that they are not their reality, it's their problems, not our problems.
It's not our problems. Deal with it. On a serious note, Pep was asked if putting a bunch of shots on goal only to score once is a sign of future problems.
We should do it more. But the important is the same, like the goals concede. How many chances? No, we concede. How is the average? And as much you create, unless you concede, you are all the time closer to win the games. Because to do that, you have to play better, you have to defend better. This is an important... I know there are a lot of big data, there's a lot of movements. I don't pay much attention to that. Don't pay much. But the fact that how many shoots, how many create, we create more than the opponent, we concede less than the opponent, this is a good...
Simple. Starting 11 for Manchester was Ederson, Ake, Diaz, Stones, Akanji, Rodri, Nunes, Kovacic, Foden, Silva, and Haaland up top. Surprised seeing the Nunes-Kovacic duo starting? Pep embracing chaos? City will need to break lines with runs, not passes. Sharpie, what were your thoughts on the starting 11?
I'm going to pat myself on the back because we didn't do the kickoff show. As you know, you deserved a break. But as soon as I saw it, I got out a couple of thoughts and I was like, okay, Bernardo outright. And then I said, with Kovacic, he's going to sit in with Foden and Nunes is going to be the one on the left because he has the ability to drive. And you need Foden central, right? It wasn't going to be a match where you have Foden wide and Nunes in the middle. No. So like I called it and that made me really happy. I'm super excited for the 3 changes. We had Ake come in, like you said, Kovacic and Nunes. And like, I think that was the first time, I think they said only the second time this season that we've had our 4 center back lineup in, the one that got us the trouble. And so that's because of injuries and other things. So it's like getting that solidity. When I saw that 3-2 setup, I said, oh, we're good. Like, I don't know how many we're going to score, but we're not going to concede today. That was how I felt when I saw the lineup. What about you, Lando?
Super surprised by the Nunes and Kovacic start. I didn't know about the tandem. I did not have the foresight to have that prediction like you did, but I'm looking at the lineup and that is exactly how it came out. Heat Mops matched that up as well. So, man, props to you. It just goes to show how much comfort and love I have for this team, because just like in the previous lineup where I got some comfort in seeing Bernardo and Rodri together, I was perfectly fine with seeing Bernardo out wide and then seeing John Stones back in the lineup, getting that opportunity to kind of show his absolute amoeba self. So it was great. I absolutely loved it. And I got I'm ecstatic to talk about this game and some of the players that had a great, great performance. Crunk, what did you think about the lineup, though?
I loved it. Once I saw the four defenders, I was like, let's go. I just wanted to see us run at them. I didn't know if it would equate to goals, but I knew defensively, like Sharpie said, we were going to be solid. I wasn't really worried about it. And the idea of defending on Bournemouth's end, you got Nunez out wide, John Stones playing a midfielder. How does your brain like handle all that stuff? Who handles who? And I think that just did a good thing for us because Bournemouth, you know, their striker, the homie that I kind of laugh at, Solanke, he's a good player. He is.
Let's have the conversation. Let's have the conversation. Hold on, let me pour my cherry juice real quick. Hold on, let me just pour some cherry juice real quick. Dominic Solanke.
Hey, Solanke's real, bro. He's a real baller. He was out there doing work. He did. They didn't score a goal, but it wasn't his fault. Like, he was getting possession. He's strong as an ox. He has skill, his feet. Like, him and Tony are the next people that are going to go to the big six clubs. It's just a matter of where they land next season. Like, they're out of the mid-table. They're going to be – we're going to see them in the title run next season, both of them.
Yeah, but West Ham is not that, though.
Oh, for sure. West Ham is linked. West Ham is linked. Well, I mean, hey, West Ham can be top six. We've seen it. They've made Europa. Like, that. They're going to be in the – I'll say this, top eight conversation. He'll be a top eight side, and I think that's what West Ham is. So, like, he's better than Mikel Antonio. He's better than, you know, anybody else they've had as a striker. Like, you add him there with Bowen on the wings, kudos. Like, we're going to take pockets off from them. Don't worry about it. You can buy somebody else in midfield. But, like, you know, like, they're a serious outfit. And I'm happy that – I think because the timing of the day, especially in America, right, it's the first time I think most people have got to watch Bournemouth because it was a 12:30 Eastern kickoff. So it's like, oh, we really get to see this on NBC. It's like, oh, they play good football now. This is not the team that's a walkover. And as you saw, and I know we'll talk more about the game now, but, like, that was a tale of two halves. Like, whatever happened in that team talk changed the game and – yeah, credit to Bournemouth.
They do have some ballers. They do have some ballers I'd like to go ahead and personally credit. Do you all have any particular players that you think are really good on this team? I personally, Tavernier, for me, I actually think I rate him. I saw what he was doing in the championship a few years ago, actually last year as well. He's a baller. I'm a big fan of Tavernier. Kluivert, a little bit. It's there, but it
great
ain't
last like, name, but he can't before.
It ain't dad. Yeah, it ain't dad.
Semenyo's the one for me. 24 is the best. He gave Ake work, bro. He gave Ake the best work I've seen in a minute.
Yeah, low-key did. Yeah,
he's fighting for his life out there.
I like Kirkeza as well.
Yeah,
everything until everything except his final pass. Like, he did everything well. So his crossing sucked.
Yes.
And I was so happy. If it was better, they would have gotten a goal. He's so bad at crossing. Like, five of them just went wide. I was like, yo, you really got to work on this, my boy. This is by your bomber. Because if you put Sergio Gomez in that spot, they're getting a goal. Yeah. Like, that's the difference, right? That's the levels.
Yeah, that's valid.
Especially with the space that he was getting. They were kind of getting us at moments, especially later in the match, which we'll get to. Haaland's early miss. The shot was on his weak foot. First touch pushed the ball too far for him to really take it with his left. Early in the match, which made me think that City could figure things out, scored shortly after the miss, kind of felt. That's for me, at least. How did you feel about the miss? It was the only goal. I mean, we'll get to it. Is the only goal of the match later, but in that moment, was it like, all right, let's move on, or we're in the moment you're just like, we're fucked. This is bad.
We're fucked.
We're done.
I had a flashback to Chelsea. I literally thought about the Chelsea match when he missed the header. Now, this was a harder chance than the header he missed because it is on the weak foot, the way he caught it, but to not even get it on target, I was like, who is this guy? Is this Gabby Jesus? Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, this is like some Jason shit. And so I'm just saying, same number, very different hue, a little bit taller, but it was the same effect. Like, and so I was really nervous. How were you feeling though when he missed everything?
Look, I've been quite nervous about how Earl Ha has been playing lately, and I mean, this was a shocker of a game, brother. This is a shocker of a game for him. I mean, it's just I don't know. Weak foot. I hear you. You're not wrong. But maybe it's just come to the expectations that I would like those to be finished.
It should be finished. Yeah, of course. He would say that. Like, I think everybody knows it, right? Like, it's not a, we're not criticizing him for missing, but you got to talk about what happened. And it's like, hey, you didn't put it on frame. You can miss and hit the goalie. Cause it's like, oh, or like some of those near chances he misses, like crazy karate kicks and sky high jumps. Like, yeah, those are hard chances.
To things, right? Yeah. That leads to things, as we'll see later.
Exactly. Just get it on target and look
like I'm about to get to. Exactly. City's only goal of the match. Foden the poacher. Haaland takes a shot at goal, a little bouncer, scrubby little ting, where the keeper could only push the ball away. Unfortunately for the keeper, Foden was crashing in for the offensive rebound, uncontested layup, tap the ball in for the goal. Like I said, the only goal of the match. At the time of Foden's goal, did you feel like there were more goals coming? Did you see this being a 1-0? I feel like maybe you did, Sharpie.
I saw us getting a second. I didn't know when it was going to happen, but I felt like because we scored in the 24th minute, mathematically, it gives us 66 minutes left. We can score another goal in 66 minutes. Why not?
Yes.
We're controlling possession, especially in this point in the first half. But I do want to do an ode to Tom, who's not with us tonight. The key pass from Kovacic, that looked like some David Silva, Kevin De Bruyne shit. Like, the perfect loft to get it to Haaland. Because without that pass, you don't get the shot on target. And Kova, he balled out. Like, if you saw Twitter, everybody was singing his praises because he earned it. He's the Croatian baller was there. He's one of those players, like, I hated him at Chelsea. I'm so happy he's on our club for everything he does. And he was very, very, like, he was very important yesterday in the match. And that goal started with him making the right pass, seeing the pass, taking the risk. That's not a likely pass, right? It's a risky pass, but you got to play it. And I think we always were looking at people like, play the ball to Haaland, like give him a chance. He gave him a chance. Haaland was strong enough to get the shot off, put it on target, and feel having the heart and hunger for goal because he's in a great form right now. He wants to keep scoring goals, and that's what he went after. So it was a great play. Great play.
Let's go.
Yeah, you know what I find funny about the stat line and everything like that is they gave – and I say they, SofaScore gives Mateo Kovacic a 7.3 rating for that game. And let me be completely honest with you. As one who has shit on Mateo this year and how he's performed for us so far, understanding while he's older, he still gets the little bit of curve time because it is the first year situation. We know how players do with Pep and how that comes to the first year. That was one hell of a performance. That was one hell of a match for me. He came in with some fresh legs, dribbling out of scenarios in the midfield, being pressed on his back, not seeing behind him and still getting out of it. I can't say the words better, Charlie. The fact that he was able to take the risk and play that ball, to have that courage to do that with how he's played in performances, that man came to play. It was the right lining of stars. Mateo, just duplicate that more, brother. I loved everything that I saw at Mateo Kovacic, as well as Nunez. I loved it. I loved it. I hope we can see more of that because that could potentially give us some real good comfort with a Rodri tandem. If I see more of that from Mateo, brother, I am in good hands if I see his name in the starting 11 again, guys.
I think this is a prime example. You said, how do you replace all these players? Right? You named all the people that left. Well, Cheeky and the board and his people, they found the players to do it. You go Gundo. Nope, we bring in another 8 Mateo. You lose Cole Palmer, we get a Doku. You lose Laporte, we get a Vardiol. Like, it's a like for like, right? Like, and of course, Nunez comes in as the late thing. We won a Paquetá, we'll get him. But we got Nunez as like our constellation prize. And look what he can
over.
Do. Like,
right?
Yeah, the holdover. Like, the first run in the opening 5 or 6 minutes, I said, oh, he's balling today. Like, that was some winger shit. He's a midfielder. So it's just like every player, and then every player who's come on the city this year is hitting the ground running. And I don't know if like scouting's getting better or if the coaches are better at like getting players adapted faster, because it used to take a whole season. But now
that's
it's
a really
like,
good point.
You are able to say, hey, Doku, go have 4 assists and 1 goal in November. Oh, Nunez, go do this. Oh, Kovacic, play the key pass. Oh, Vardiol, dominate the left wing as a 21-year-old center back, turn left wing back. Like
hybrid.
hybrid. This player, big player. Like, it's really crazy what Pep's vision is and how he shifted the team. He has the, obviously, we got the money, but we're not flashing cash. We didn't go pay for Antony. We're not United out here. Like, we spend our money and it works. You know, we don't waste bread. And if you want to talk about Calvin Phillips, that's the only bread we wasted. Hey, I'll take a one miss out of the last 10 players we've signed as far as their productivity on the pitch. So it's amazing the way we keep this thing going, integrating youth, getting the right vets, having that FIFA brotherhood with chemistry, right? You bring in two croats, you know, you keep it locked in. Like everybody has somebody on that team. Bob, the Norwegian, it's beautiful.
Charlie argues a great point about not necessarily having to go out and bring someone in or going out and bringing someone in and it being the wrong purchase. Why don't we just talk about being able to have the understanding of what's right there in front of you? Homegrown, been there since day one. Philip Walter Foden. I am falling in love with his game more and more and more as he grows. How lucky are we going to be at the end of his career to say that we had a chance to watch this man? I mean, it is remarkable. People just throw out phrases. It is truly said for Philip Walter Foden that we are watching him grow up in front of our eyes. And it is crazy. And I'm loving every bit of it, because now those little shoulders are getting so much more weight and our man is taking it in stride. The professionalism, you know, some young City Academy players sometimes think that the grass is greener other places. And then they leave and go to another country. Then they come back to the city in different colors. I just want to point out Philip Walter Foden and his camp and his team, the growth, everything about decisions that are made and how things are approached. He had a child at a young age. This isn't necessarily the easiest of ways. You can say, oh, he's had it easy, he's under Pep and all that. Everyone has decisions. Everyone makes decisions. And Philip Walter Foden is doing, in my humble opinion, lining up perfectly and doing all of the right decisions. And I'm so proud to be able to say I've had a chance to watch that man play.
The best decision Phil Foden made was to be patient.
Preach!
And it's not a knock on Cole. This is not me coming at Cole. Cole had a different place. Cole was – he waited longer to get his shot.
No, you don't got to say his name to make your point.
I just want to say, just to make a point, but when Phil came on, he knows who he is. He knows what he did in the academy. You're like, okay, I'll play 6 minutes here, 10 minutes there. I might get a start in the Carabao Cup. And he did that for like three years, basically, yep, of just being a spot rotation player. It wasn't until like the pandemic and beyond where he started really coming into the side and getting starts. And now he's undroppable. As they say in Britain, he's unplayable, right? Like, which I don't understand in my brain, but he has to be it doesn't have to be to this day. I don't know. How is he? You say he's not playable, which means he is playable. Just say playable.
Teacher coming out of him. Teacher.
Y'all made the language. Y'all made it. Y'all got it. Y'all did it first. It's a black man over here trying to understand. But yeah, it's something beautiful to watch someone who says, no, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it here. I'm going to stay home. I'm not. What do you say, like Leo DiCaprio? I'm not fucking leaving. And he has performed every season and gotten better every season. Now he's already reached his most goal contributions in February, the best year of his life. He still has 3 months left. Like, he is, I think, one behind in all competitions. He's one contribution behind Haaland, which is crazy to think. Like,
wild.
That is.
It's insane. Wild. And now we know, like, we can depend on you. You are the player. You have to be in the pitch the same way Roger has to be in the pitch, the same way Ederson's in goal, the same way Haaland's up top. We have our spine. And once you get your spine right, everything else is strong around it. Shout out to my chiropractor who hooked me up on Friday. But yeah, like it's important. It's important. Black man too. Love it.
I need to support black chiropractors out there. I need to find me a quality chiropractor local to me. Thank you for putting that to my notes, because that's something I've been needing to do, especially with me picking up pick up ball lately. Appreciate you, Charlie.
That 3 minutes, man, it changed my week, changed my whole weekend. I was like, oh, I'm ready to work out now. Let's go. Like, Saturday was better, Sunday was better. But yeah, go take care of yourself, y'all. 2024, take care of yourself.
After all this positivity, I do kind of want to go to somewhere that Pep's sub choices in this match kind of perplexed me. Daka for Nunez in the 63rd minute, sure, especially because Nunez was playing out wide. Julian for Halan, sure. Rest the Giant for the match in a couple of days. Bournemouth, the problem with that is Bournemouth now are like much bigger than City. Physicality, set pieces, all of those things. We are now the much smaller side. That means our defenders might have to get more in places, which could put us weaker if Bournemouth try to attack us on the counter. I mean, it's kind of what happened, really. But and then finally, KDB in the 86th minute. It's just like, wait, what? I'm pretty sure in the Slack chat, Sharpie, you were just like, no, defenders, lock this shit down. Lock this shit down. So what were your thoughts? How are you feeling about Pepsi's?
I said that, right? And then I looked at who was available. The only player I would have put on differently would have been Kyle Walker. Like, I would have brought Kyle Walker on instead of KDB. But Alvarez, I didn't have a problem with because Haaland's legs are gone. And mm-hmm. you got to keep the press up. Like you said with Dockley, that was good. But I think Walker going to the right fullback and making three center backs, I think that would have locked the shit all the way up. Because now we know they can't break us down. They're not going to score against five across. But I guess Pep wanted more, you know, wanted Kev on the pitch, which you can't argue against Kev on the pitch, right?
Like, of
Kev.
Course, of course.
So you get it, but it's like for defensive just standards, and Lando is my resident FC 24 player. Sometimes you got to lock that shit up. You got to go defensive, and you just got to say, "Hey, we're gonna hold this lead because I fought my ass off, and I don't want to concede at the end."
Facts.
But you know, hey, that's why he's Pep. How'd you feel, Lando? Were you upset, or did you understand?
Nah, I'm fine with it all, but I do have a theory.
Mm. Mm.
Julian Alvarez for Erling Haaland was not based on upcoming match. Pep saw that man at a 5.7 rating and said, you know what, with where we're at in the 75th, let's get Julian on here and see if he can get our second one. I think with the chances that he missed, Pep said, all right, come on, Bip Dog, I've seen enough for today. A little bit of a message, a little bit of if you read body language too, a little bit. Haaland was fucking coming off that pitch upset.
I mean,
of course, yeah, that's what we want him to be. Yeah. But again, I like that because for me, it's just a healthy reminder. He's a robot. He's a machine. But I like to use more of the he's an absolute animal, because when you use it in that sense, an animal. I don't want to be like cruel because I mean, Peter, don't come after me, and I love animals, but I guess let me put it another way. I used to like pissing off some of my players. Sometimes have pissing off some of your great players just to do it, especially as an assistant coach. Pep can't do it because he's a big dog, right? But sometimes the assistant coaches, or actually Pep can do it because he's that guy. Sometimes those assistant coaches can really do a good job of just nagging you, just pissing you off, getting you right before a game, saying some shit that you know you don't like, just to kind of get that little edge to you. And actions like that, with Pep taking him off, my theory is this, a healthy reminder, Erling Haaland. No one is locked in. 5.7 rating, you played pretty bad. And this isn't in recent form, you've played bad. Bring in Julian. It's all right. Another day will come.
I mean, a 5.7 is flattering because on one football, it's 5.0. So, like, it was a very mid game aside from the shot on target.
It wasn't great.
And like, goal. But it's like, yeah, Alvarez is there. And Alvarez has staked his claim. It's like, I'm valuable. Like, I've done this without you, Erling. Like, I can score goals. I can make things happen, set pieces, crosses. I can do it all. Some would argue he's a more complete player than Erling Haaland. If you want to have the argument, I'm here to listen. But it's
an argument.
Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that he used his bench, because against Chelsea, if you go back, he did not. He used one sub. So at least we saw.
Oh, I was bitching.
I was pissed off, because it's the same thing we did last year before you came into Solander, like last season. When we didn't make subs, those were the games we either lost or drew. And it's like, why? Mm-hmm. People are right there, bro. Your bench is the best bench in the world. Use it. And so the fact that he used three of them was great. And I think it sets us up perfectly to go to Kenilworth Road and get this dub in the FA Cup.
I have a little bit of pep post.
Bournemouth have 7 days to prepare one game. 7 days dreaming every second of the 1 week to beat the best team of the world. And we have 3 days to prepare that. And the people say, no, it's the same. We play the same conditions. No, we're playing the same conditions. In the Premier League, we're playing the same conditions. And it's a lot of competition still there, but that I love it. I love it. I like it.
That's how he started the presser.
Yeah, he's a G, bro. He's a G, bro. That man.
He, if you're a listener, or if you're just a person who watches how people just speak, that is genuinely shadows getting slapped in the face and not even knowing that you're getting slapped in the face kind of shit. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's so valid. It's so truthful. But for us, though, we've been hearing it for years, right? This whole fixture thing. Remember the year him and Klopp going back? It was the year after COVID, because even after, like, it started up, everyone was so excited, you know, everything's kind of getting back to life, but the fixtures were so tight and everyone's just like, God, like, you know, when is this break happening? These players had to play through all this. And they kept going back and forth. Bro, he's so slick with the verbiage. I fucks with Pep.
And his language number two, he's mastered English over the last 7 years.
Technically, like, three.
Oh, I'm sorry. Three. You're right. It's Catalan,
Spanish, and then, I mean, maybe German too. I don't know if he knows German better than English.
He knows German. Yeah.
It's in his bag. Yeah.
Maybe not, but he knows
it. It is in his bag.
Yeah. Love that.
All right. Let's quickly get to these previews. Kenilworth Road, Luton Town. How are we feeling about it? Is this a problem? Are they knocking us out of the comp? They make it tough for everybody. We haven't been the most efficient. That tiny ass stadium holding 12,000 people, where they can basically touch you if you get too far off away from the line. How are we feeling?
Let's go back to the old days of SOB season one. Just let me read you some numbers. February for Luton Town, February 3rd, 4-4 draw to Newcastle at Newcastle. February 10th, lost at home to Sheffield United 3-1. February 18th, lost at home to Man U 2-1. February 21st, lost at Anfield 4-1. Gave up 4 in the second half after scoring in the 12th minute. They play us at home, like, I don't worry about them. They're cute. It's a great story. The manager's hot. I get it. But the manager can't play. It's in a modeling competition, my boy. And we remember how hard it was when we played them early in the year. Like, I remember when DC had the trophy tour here and watched that match, and it was stressful. I think Pep rotated perfectly to make sure he has Walker, Kev, every hitter is coming. I think he said in the quote today, like, you will see Jack and Kevin in the next few games. They will be used. Like, this is going to be our championship lineup, because it's a knockout game. And that's what we do. Mm. We're going to go on the road, clean sheet. I'll say the number right now, 3-0 City.
Ooh, I like that.
We eat, baby. It's Derby week. It's the warm-up. This is the warm-up. Oh. It's the appetizer to the real main course.
God, Charlie's – what a mentality Charlie's bringing to this Derby week. What a mentality. I am absolutely here for it, Charlie. I am here for it. My problem with your breakdown, you allude to them being able to score first, which they did in a few of those games that you pointed out in those matchups. City have a clear problem with allowing certain clubs to score first on us on the first shot on goal. So that's a recipe right there that doesn't equate well for us. I'm curious to hear right now, and Krug, you need to get on this. Who's going to be our captain for this game? Kyle Walker's going to be starting? Yeah. Do we have a Kyle Walker start? Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. So we all agree on that. All right. My next question is Rodri. Is he starting this match? Yeah. Okay, so it's this is serious. We're going for it.
Oh yeah, no, this we're past 100%. The time of like this is another. Once you hit the knockout, there is no like subbing you. I mean, I still think we're gonna get Ortega. Like that, he's the
keeper. Yeah, but you have to play your best lineup, and it sets up. This is a great rest because it's Tuesday to Sunday, so you get to train and recover. You know, after this match, you get recovery time. You can put in the plan specifically for, you know, the derby on the weekend. And then we're like Pep said, we play every 3 days after that because you go derby, you go at home. So two home matches in a row, derby and Copenhagen in the second leg of 3-1. And then we got Liverpool the next weekend. So March is where shit gets real. Luton Town just keeps us going, finish an unbeaten February. And I said 3-0, but if we win 1-0, I'll be just as happy. You know, like, I just don't think we're going to let them score. That's how
I'm going 4-1.
Ooh, okay. Oh.
I like that. Big. The chances are there. We get all the shots, damn it. Someone got to go in.
Well, you convinced me with the concept that we're actually going strong. Like, I legitimately, before this conversation, in my heart of hearts, I was like, I'll be excited if I see Rodri in the lineup. Like, I was still genuinely questioning if Rodri was going to be in the lineup. You guys think we're going strong? If we go strong against Luton in a cup, 4-1. We're putting four on their heads. And I'd be really, really, really like to start seeing some goals, guys. I got to be honest. I was going to keep this from everyone, but I'm starting to get worried about goal differential. Like, okay, genuinely.
That's fair. No, it's a fair concern. Mm. That's
real. I know this is a cup match. It has nothing to do with it. I just want to state for the record. I just want us to start getting more goals.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I am interested because they have a match against Aston Villa on Saturday. I know that's some time to rest, but they don't really play a lot of back-to-back games, but they did do a Sunday, Wednesday, now Tuesday, and then in Saturday. That is something that they don't do. Mm-hmm. I will be intrigued to see how serious of a club that Owen a Town tomorrow, they think that he's going to field. Is he going to field out a strong squad, or is he going to just be like, all right, you guys got this. I'm more focused on a really tough match against Villa on the weekend.
Barkley and Chong. If I see Barkley and Chong in the starting 11, I think he's really going after it.
Yeah. I think you got to go after it. I think because this is the – you have a chance to knock off the defending treble winners at home. You go for it, and you have time. I think if they play – this is on a Thursday – and you're playing the weekend against Villa, I think it's different, right? But because they've been off since Wednesday, they're getting ready for this game. And they took an ass open against Liverpool. They're definitely going to come back stronger. So maybe my 3-0 is ambitious, and I'm sure it is. And they give us a hell of a fight. But I feel like we're going to create chances. And I feel like when Kev starts, it opens up everything for everybody. It's like having Steph Curry out there. The gravity of the whole pitch shifts. Mm-hmm. And that's what Kevin does. Because what can he do? Everything. When he has the ball. So you have to be ready for it. And defenders, they fall over. Like, it's ridiculous what he does. Like, mentally, you're done.
It's kind of crazy that Krunk breaking down the schedule, the recent scheduling for Luton is like a walking example as to Pep's argument in the presser, how the fixtures and the scheduling really doesn't, like, it's not favorable. And it doesn't matter. Like, it's case in point to, like, it doesn't even matter who you are. Like, look, it's Luton Town. Luton ain't even in Europe. Like, it's case in point that, like, it's tough. It's tough, man.
I think they have their month has been chill. They played one match a week, except for last week. Like,
yeah, this is just a little burst of game, which is what I'm saying. They don't do this too often.
They don't. Yeah, yeah. But it's a week apart, though. It's 6 days apart. Yeah, yeah. So at least they don't have to travel. Yeah. So I mean, but anyway, this is Luton Town, guys. Let's not act like this is Liverpool. It's a different L team. Like, man, come on now.
I don't know.
We're not losing to fucking Luton Town in FA Cup, bro.
Of our storied history against them.
I don't care about the fucking history. Since I've been
super
here.
Super tough.
We're not doing
I know.
This ain't Adam shit. Nah, bro. Nah. Keep that shit on Twitter. We going to win this match. I don't know what the bet, but we going to win. Moneyline. City.
Yeah. City. I think it's going to be a 2-0. I think it's going to be close.
You got a clean sheet too, though?
Perfect score. Yeah, got two in a row. Come on, bro. Against better teams.
Especially in cup competitions. We got Ortega in goal. Yeah, I think he does his team. All right, Manchester Derby. How we feeling about this? I think we embarrassed
Lando. What you got, bro? What you got?
I'm just laughing at United's recent form against Fulham. That's tough to take in. Yeah, you know, they're laugh, but we laugh at them and their current situation, and I think it's fair, but it's a derby and it's going to be close. It always typically is. You asked for a score prediction. I was about to say, unless it's, you know, two field goals on somebody's head. I think City win 4-2. A lot of far away, right? We got a game in between. Anything can happen against Luton. Far away, 4-2. I think we're going to be amped. I'm stoked for it, though, boys. What do you got, Charlie? What do you think about this derby?
I think this derby solidifies that Ten Hag isn't coming back. Like, we already know it, right?
So you're going with the nail coffin.
I'm going.
We're going to be the nail coffin team
at home. It's not going to be Real Madrid type of match, but it's going to give feelings of that double hat trick that Erling and Phil put off, and they shouldn't have got three goals. It should have been 6-1. Martial just got lucky. I'm going to say 4. I think 4-1. I feel like they get that consolation goal. Either they score first or last, but like we run it up because this is the match we have to start strong in March. It is the biggest month of the year. We've been looking at it since the summer. Every match matters. United, leg 2 against Copenhagen, Liverpool at Brighton, at Liverpool at Brighton, home against Arsenal. It's the month that defines our season. And you start off with laying the gauntlet down, keeping pressure on it in a title race to say, hey, like we are here. You all, the title runs through the blue side of Manchester. So Liverpool and Arsenal, get ready. We're coming for you. And this is what you do. I don't care about your little Carabao Cup win. That's cute. Great job, Virg. You did it. Woohoo. The real competition starts in March, and that's what we're ready to do. What you got, Kron?
Luke Shaw's out. The little Lisandro, the Butcher's out. No Martial. No Malacia. No Hoyland. No Mount. No Juan Bissaka. No Casemiro. He is, 25% with a right?
I'd prefer. That might be better for them, actually, though. He sucks.
I think we embarrass them. I'm doing it. I think we're doing it 6-1. I've been needing an insane scoring dynamo up match. They are the perfect people to start our terrifying run. You thought we were winning. Now we're starting to dominate. It's against our opinionated neighbors at home. Let's run it up. Let's get us some goals, bring some people on. We still scoring goals. Ten Hag just sitting there looking confused. Then, you know, post-match, he'll say everything looked great. The team looked great.
Love the performance. Great effort from McLean. Great effort.
And then he'll be promptly fired. I am very...
Oh, what a dream.
Yo, if he gets fired after this match and they just do the caretaker manager until the end of the season for Tuchel to come in, because that's how it's looking, it'll be so great. It would be perfect. Like, this club, then the thing is, before the Fulham match, they had won like 5 in a row. But the numbers, this is why you have to look at underlying numbers. Like, only one of those games is convincing, is the West Ham match. The rest of them were like toss ups. And like, they have a terrible goal differential. I think you saw the stat that came out, the graphic is like, over the last 3 seasons, our goal differential is like something like +175, and theirs like +15. They're just a mediocre side. And I'm tired of treating them like anything but a mid table side. Like, yeah, they're in 6 right now, but they're not the 6th best team in the league. Like, I'll take Brighton over them in a heartbeat, like, because they actually have a style. They actually play with some type of class. This is just guys on a pitch. And it's not even the kid's fault. It's just, like, the manager hasn't done his job. How you there this long and don't have a single, like, system that you put in when you know you need a system to do well? So we're going to dominate, and I'll hopefully get that ball man out of here.
Oscar Bob gets his first derby goal.
Ooh, sub goal. I like it. Luckily, it's sub goal. Is Jack going to start? I think Jack gets to start the return of Grealish. Gucci Puma back?
Yes, Gucci Puma back.
Are we going to see him in Luton Town is my first question.
Ooh, I hope so. I hope he gets a run.
At least a sample. Yeah, at least a sample to make me feel more comfortable.
To be some sub.
Can I take it back for a starting 11?
Please.
Okay, here we go, boys. This is it. It's the one.
You've been on one. You've been on one. So this is kind of important here.
We're going 3-2-4-1. Just take it back to last year. It ain't hard. Edison in goal. Diaz in the middle. Ake on the left. Walker on the right. Stones, Rodri. In front of those two, Foden, Alvarez. To the left, Grealish. Oh, no, I'm sorry. KDB Foden. We get the KDB Foden in the middle. We get Grealish on the left. We get Bernardo on the right. Haaland up top. First sub, Doku. Second sub, Alvarez. Third sub, maybe get a Rico sighting. Maybe a Kovac sighting. But it's going to be an annihilation.
That's the death lineup.
The Etihad will be rocking. The only thing I might shift, he could keep Akanji in. But I feel like he gave Walker a rest for a reason. Because they know that they have pace on the wing and you need Walker against either Rashford or Garnacho. So I think this is his spot to start, like to really say, hey, you're back, you're good, you're rested, okay? Go be crazy. Yeah, that's the 11 that gets it done. I'm ready.
Four names to the death lineup that are absolute concrete foundational for me. The rest are whatever you want to do. Foden and Kevin, two roaming tens doing what they do. Alvarez, Haaland. Did you not put Alvarez on there?
No, I had to take him out for Kev because you can't play all three of them. You can't start all three. So I think you got to go Kevin, and Foden sit in behind Haaland. And then you got to go Bernardo on the wing because he likes that control. That's how we did. That's what we went into trouble with.
Yeah, I see it. I see it.
We'll see though. Sunday. Hey. Watch along. I'm hyped. I'm coming back home. I'm going to a funeral on Saturday, but I'm driving back early Sunday morning. Like, it's time to
get in. Let's go. We don't have to stay with Wahabi because I kind of want to sit and chat with her. We can do that when Talbot is back. But we can do this Everton score prediction. It should be really easy because let me talk about Everton for a little bit. They sit ninth in the league with a negative 13 goal difference. They are on a two-match winning streak, but City won first in the first matchup of the WSL season, winning 4-1. That was the pair of Khadija Shaw's back-to-back perfect hat-trick matches that she did. In 24 meetings between City women and Everton women, Man City are 24-0.
Golly.
So... I'm expecting City women to make it 25-0. It's at home. It's at the Joy Stadium. They've had some time off. The players were able to play each other. Unfortunately, knocking a couple of each other out of contention for the Olympics. So that's not great. But there was some shirt swapping happening. Lots of hugging. Lots of love still going on. This love the vibes on this team. City women Twitter, they call it Family FC. They call them Family FC. And then it's more
that's
like
dope. Cheap,
but it's just because how close they are all with each other. Yeah, I think I could see a 4-0. They're not going to score on us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I say 4-0.
Eight goals conceded in 14 matches for City women. Incredible. We got to run it up. We're tied with level. We're level with Chelsea. Here's the hardest part. We're level with Chelsea on goal differential, but they have scored more goals. And they play Leicester. So they're definitely going to try to get it back in blood after losing to us 1-0. So, like, we got to try to run it up. But I don't think we get crazy, I think, because we don't want to concede. So I think we go 3-0. Yeah, so a nice 3-0. 4 would be great, but I feel a solid 3. What about you, Lando?
The clean sheet, the defensive – it's crazy how I feel so secure with our City women defensively right now. I think this is a great opportunity for us to build up the goal differential. And just this game getting maybe +3, +4 on there would be nice. I got a Bunny Hattie. I'm going with another Bunny Hattie. I'm feeling it.
Let's go.
God, I'm feeling it. And I'm going 4-0.
Let's go. Yeah. Run it up. Both teams scoring all the points this weekend. I would lose it. I'd be out here. Well, shout out to an amazing week of amazing Shades of Blue shows for you. We got Breaking Bread for you Monday for Luton Town, Wednesday for the Manchester Derby, Thursday night lit stream. We got the Manchester Derby watch along on Sunday. All of those It's in the link tree down below. Just tap it. It's all right there. And you can just preset it up. You can just have a tab just waiting. Have multiple tabs. Most of you guys have multiple tabs on your browser anyway.
That's right. You got to start telling people subscribe on YouTube, right? Hit that bell. Subscribe, oh, yeah, subscribe. So you know exactly when you're going. Got to just get in.
Yes.
Don't even have to remember. Just way. Let it happen. Let it happen.
Exactly. We got a Patreon. You can support us for $6 a month. You know, it's one treat from your local coffee shop, brewery, bakery, taqueria, you know. Help us out. It's always appreciated. All right. Show bros. How about you let people know where they can find you, Sharpie Charlie? We'll start with you.
Oh, that's it right there. At Sharpie Charlie on Twitter. Come through. Talk about working out, movies, basketball, footy, all things. What about you, Lando?
At Lando Martine, LandoMartine. If you go look at my Twitter here soon, you will see a repost. Ederson, city record, 110 clean sheets. Here's to you, sir. Thank you. Your service has been wonderful. We appreciate you. Nice, fun little stat record to go out on for the pod. 242 matches played. 109 shutouts. Let's go, Eddie. We love you.
Let's go. Yeah, follow our social media accounts also. Shades of Blue US or Shades of Blue Pod on all of the apps. Just check us out. Again, all that stuff is also in the link tree. Just tap it. You can scroll. Follow us on all the socials. Keep you tapped into all things social. All things Shades of Blue. You know the vibes. Shady gang. Shady gang. Shady gang.